It is Wednesday, May 8th. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. We've got Craig Fitzgibbon, the Sharks coach, coming up in about half an hour's time. We'll get some midweek mail off Brad Davidson and Mitch Menners. Bulldog is with us, as you heard, though, and his usual segment will come up just after the 8 o'clock news this morning. All the teams are out for around 10. The Origin countdown is on. And just on the Origin countdown, by the way, Tab has released markets for player of the match, first try scorer, and to score a try for Origin 1. Now, naturally, if you have a bet and your player doesn't make the final 17, you'll have your bet refunded there as well. But those markets are open for Game 1, which is in Sydney. And player of the match, Nathan Cleary is the $5 favourite, as you'd expect.
No surprises there, Mido. And hopefully Nathan will be there. He's been named to play this weekend, so hopefully the next couple of weeks he gets through and no issues with that hamstring. Also, yesterday, the women's New South Wales State of Origin team was announced, and there was a couple of surprises, none more so than young Jessie Southwell missing out. She was the halfback there last year. And New South Wales haven't had a great record the last four series. They've only won one, and that was back in 2022. So they're desperate to turn it around. It's an expanding three-game series this year, and it all kicks off next Thursday night, May 16, at Suncorp Stadium. So hopefully New South Wales girls can win that first game.
Little entree for Magic Round next Thursday night. And yes, the Sky Blues coach Kylie Hilda, Rachel Pearson, and the Roosters Corbin Baxter set to be named in the halves there for the women's Origin side. The market for Game 1 in the women's series will be confirmed when both sides are confirmed. But the market for the men's Origin for Game 1, New South Wales $1.62, Queensland $2.30. June 5, so it's less than a month away now. Well, it's a month tonight, isn't it? Really, until Game 1.
Some interesting rumours going around about who may or may not be in the team. And, it could be some surprises with the New South Wales team.
Who's your favourite?
Favourite what?
For Game 1.
New South Wales, most definitely. Most definitely. At home. It'd change if it was at Suncorp, obviously. Oh, both. If it was in Queensland, I'd have Queensland favourite, obviously. But I just think, even for the series, I think New South Wales should be favourites. Because I think that, Gilbert not being there, Tino not being there, Flegler not being there, they're three massive outs for Queensland.
Haven't we walked this path before?
Yeah, and that's why I wouldn't be silly enough to say they're the worst ever team in Queensland's history, Bulldog. I wouldn't go down that path like other people have done in the, before.
Who would be so stupid?
Well, that's what I mean. Whoever would say those type of things has got no idea.
They're just looking for a headline,
but
clearly.
But I don't know. How do you rate this Queensland outfit this year?
Oh, I'd be very strong again, Loz. Mm. But, I'm always reluctant to go too heavy on the Blues.
What do you mean, always reluctant?
To go too heavy on New South Wales.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you went on Queensland.
Past history, they've won the last two. It will be interesting to see what Madge does, though. I think Madge is going to base a lot of his selections around just attitude, Loz, and who he thinks will get down in the trenches. Not more than form, but equal to form. Like a guy like Cam McGuinness, for example, I think you'll find he'll be pretty close to selection. Those kind of players who just go effort on effort on effort, and that'll be someone I think Madge will look at very closely.
Joining us now from the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Pengilly. A very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys. What a great mate he is, Dog. You're just reminding you about your previous stories from yesteryear.
I didn't mention his name, Adam.
Who wrote it?
I didn't mention his name. Well, Adam just mentioned you. I never mentioned you, did I?
It's semantics, Adam.
It is.
He's being smart again. He's trying to be.
Hey, I didn't mention you.
Well, who wrote it?
I didn't have a smile on my face.
You did.
I didn't.
You had that silly smirk you get.
What silly smirk?
The one that's on your face right now. Adam, where's Fifita going to go?
Oh, good question, Doggy. I think we count down day by day, I think there's more chance of him leaving the Gold Coast Titans than staying there the longer this goes on. So I think Penrith have probably just got their noses in front, given what they can provide to David Fifita and the package they've offered. So I would say they've just got their nose in front, but geez, it's hard to turn down the Roosters when they come knocking as well, isn't it? Obviously, they're a powerful club. When they try and get a player, they usually get them. My question is, what does it say about the Roosters and their back row depth? What's it going to mean for some of their other players if they do get Fifita? Like, you look at their back row stocks, and like, they're extremely strong. Like, we know the situation with Angus Crichton. There's guys like Satili Tupanua, Egan Butcher, Siwa Wong. Siwa Wong's barely got any football in the NRL so far this year. So clearly they think that David Fifita is a massive upgrade on those sort of guys. So there could be a bit of a domino effect if he does end up going to the Roosters.
Yeah, that's a fair point too. And they've also got Angus Crichton, who we thought was going to leave the Roosters, but it's likely now that they'll extend him for a few more years.
And you'd have to, Loz, wouldn't you, given the way he's played the last few weeks?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. I think he's playing some really good football. And now he's entered even into the conversation of State of Origin. That's how good his form has been. So, interesting. Before we move on to horse racing, I want to ask you about, were you surprised that Casey Badger kept a job? Did you think that they might have rested her this weekend after all the discussion about her performance on the referee and the abuse that she copped just to give her a rest for the weekend?
Yeah, I can't say I was surprised they kept her, Loz, because you just got to put it in context. And we chatted about it, what day was it, on a Monday, earlier this week, saying that, like, let's be honest, she didn't have her greatest game. She definitely wasn't helped by the bunker. I think they made a couple of clangers too. But the reality is that if you remember just a few weeks ago, they rested or rotated her after that controversial game down in Canberra between the Raiders and the Titans. So if she comes back and they do it again straight away, it's almost like, well, okay, we're not quite sure where we're going with you now. You might be sort of refereeing in the New South Wales Cup for an extended stint. They obviously want to put their support behind her and back her, and I think that's completely fine. I agree with that. She'll obviously want to referee a lot better the game she's doing this week, and I hope she does. But as you guys, as we touched on, Loz, on Monday, and I'm a big, big believer in this. I'm getting so sick of players arguing the toss with referees, whether it's Casey or male referees. It's just going on far too much in our game at the moment, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree. And hopefully they've all learnt a lesson this weekend, players and referees, and the referees are a little bit more stronger. And as we spoke about, if you're not a captain, don't go talking to the ref. If you're a captain, approach the referee in the right manner, and you'll get that respect in return. But if you start waving your hands around and going off and carrying on, I think you get March 10th, and the referee says, any more and you're going to the bin, and if they want to keep carrying on, then you bin them straight away.
And we'll never go down the path of soccer or football where it's a common practice for 7, 8, 9 guys to surround a referee when there's a penalty decision or something like that. And it's a horrible, horrible look. And rugby league won't go down that path. But I think we're treading a very, very dangerous line at the moment with the amount of people that are protesting with referees. I think there was one situation last Friday night in the Roosters and Broncos game. And I think there was probably an incorrect call made on the field at the time by the referee. But James Tedesco was literally just shadowing and following the referee everywhere he went. And I'm thinking, mate, like, I know it was probably a bad call. If you're going to challenge it, challenge it, or do what you need to do. But the referee just kept walking away and he just kept following and stalking, and other players are coming in. I'm thinking, just stop. But just, I don't know, maybe I'm being a little bit too pedantic there, but I'm just completely over players arguing at length with referees about decisions.
I'm sick of them waving their arms around every game. They wave their arms around. They put the referee under enormous pressure. They push and they push and they push. And then when there's a mistake by the referee, they start blowing again. It's like, well, you have brought this on yourself. Let the referee do their job and stop trying to intimidate. Stop waving your arms around and just worry about playing.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Doggy. I think you're 100% right there.
We had the barrier draw for the Goodwood to close out the South Australian Carnival on Saturday there at Morfordville. And Amelia's Jewels sticking at the 1,200 is the favourite, $3.80 with Tab. I see out of the Quokka, there's been some good money for Oscar's Fortune with Pike to ride. It's drawn around in the middle. And, what was it, 9.50? Yeah, 9.50 into 6.50 yesterday.
Okay, that's a decent move, isn't it, Mido, when you think about it? And I don't think Simon Miller will be too upset with the draw for Amelia's Jewel there, a nice middle draw. And he's going to add blinkers to her as well to just try and sharpen her up over these 1,200 metres. So that might be the ace up the sleeve for the stable to try and get a sharp enough to run well in a big Group 1 race over 1,200 metres. A couple of bad draws with some horses out wide there. I think, obviously, the horse that ran so well in the Sangster, Climbing Stars, drawn a little bit wider on the track there, learning to fly for Annabelle Neesham in Barrier 14. Not a great draw for her, I wouldn't have thought. She's going to have to take her medicine and probably go back to the second half of the field. I reckon, Mido, there's one horse that's a bit of a wild card in this race. It's I Am Me from that inside gate with Blake Shin. She's a speedy mare, and I can just see her finding the front or at least settling in the first pair and being extremely hard to catch from that inside draw there. So big watch on her. I can understand why the market's got Amelia's dual favourite. Just still a little bit of a concern over her effectiveness at Group 1 level at 1,200 metres.
Yeah, I agree. Very backable I Am Me, although it has been 750 to 950.
Godolphin retired a couple of horses yesterday.
They did, Loz. It is retirement season at the moment, and a couple of their flagship horses are heading into retirement. Cascadian, which is pretty sad news. He's been a bit of a cult hero in Australian racing for a number of years now. He won the Australian Cup a couple of times, a couple of Group 1s up here in Sydney. He did have a pretty good preparation, I thought, in his last preparation throughout the autumn. He ran relatively well in the Queensland Stakes in that fast-score race behind Pride of Jenny, and obviously won the Australian Cup the start prior, but James Cummings has decided that he's looking a little bit tired after his preparation. He finished it a few weeks ago and still hasn't quite recovered. And I think the team there had suggested that this is probably going to be his last racing preparation. So to win more than $10 million in prize money, wow, what a horse he's been for many, many seasons now. And Golden Mile, the other horse, is going to retire to stud. Obviously, the Caulfield Guineas winner, who picked up a couple of other stakes races as well. It's quite natural for him at the end of his four-year-old season to head off to stud. So, yeah, Godolphin have to try and replace a couple of their headline horses.
Overpass won't be going to the carnival there in Queensland either.
No, he won't, Mido. Bjorn Baker has admitted that he had a bit of a temperature after going across to Western Australia to win the Quokka. So they won't be taking any risks with him. Obviously, the Doomba 10,000 would have looked like a really nice race for him on the program, but given it's just so hard to travel horses, particularly from one side of the continent to the other, they'll play it safe with Overpass. He's done his job, obviously, winning that massive race that's worth many millions of dollars. So, unfortunately, we won't see him up there in Queensland for the Winter Carnival.
Do you like anything at Warwick Farm today?
Yeah, I do, Loz. Race 5, number 2, Ring of Rose, is my best bet on the program. Now, she is first up, and I'm not entirely thrilled about backing your horse. It's probably going to settle in the second half of the field on a very, very wet track at Warwick Farm. But she does get through the conditions really well. And I know her form on paper might not look too great from a couple of runs last preparation, but she was running in some decent Saturday races. So I'm just going to bank on the wet track, giving her an advantage here. And this might feel a bit more like 1,200 metre race rather than 1,000 metre race. And hopefully she can storm over the top. So that's race 5, number 2, Ring of Rosa, the best bet on the program.
$3.40 currently with Tab there today at the farm, Ring of Rosa. Okay, mate, have a good day.
Hey, boys.
Borussia Dortmund are through to the Champions League final at the same venue where they last played in the final, Wembley, by the way. They played Bayern Munich, and there's a very real chance that same final at the same venue from back in 2013 could happen again. So Dortmund won 1-0 on the day against PSG, 2-0 on aggregate, and the Germans are through to play the winner of the tie between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich tomorrow morning, and that is 2-2 heading into the second leg in Spain. Just on the text line, some ref chat. They need to be sin-binned. It's a joke. The NRL needs to stamp it out, along with the lying down and the play of the ball, faking an injury. It's a complete crap show, a terrible look for the game. It's becoming unwatchable, says Shannon. I totally agree about the referees. Start giving 10 in the bin to players who question the ref. Some skippers could do better too. Junior players copy their heroes. The AFL lead the way on this one, says Imran in Canberra. I just saw as well John Longmire, the Swans coach, believes it's worth considering send-offs to be determined by, well, the AFL's review centre, the ARC, which is in Melbourne, for really clear incidents. He says it's not to punish the player, but to even it up. And he's speaking from a perspective of a coach of a team that's lost. Well, he lost Harry Cunningham earlier in the season. And then, of course, on the weekend, he went a man down when Tom McCartan had to go off.
How would it work? Would it be you only have 17 then players on the field?
18.
So you can
lose one on the lose one off your interchange. Yeah. I mean, he didn't go into detail.
So
can
you still rotate, and like it's like the old days when you lost a player with injury, you didn't have the sub back then. But do you have 17?
When he says to even it up, I'd say he's not talking about taking one actually off the park at the time, but taking one out of your rotation as he's lost one out of his rotation as
right,
well.
Yeah.
So, there should be an avenue there if there's a blatant foul.
Yeah. Or maybe lose 10 rotations or something.
Interchanges, yeah.
Interchanges.
Potentially, yeah. Well, yeah, he didn't go into detail on how they do it, but says it just needs to be looked at. And the Swans, of course, have lost a couple of players. Now, just on Origin as well, Laurie and Dean, I have a big bobber for the bench for the Blues if he's eligible. Taniela Paseka, I think he is eligible, isn't he, for the Blues from Manly? I think he's been one of the form props in the comp. He's a little under the radar, says Mitch from Robertson. I have seen his name mentioned in recent
Yeah, he's playing good footy. Weeks. Playing real good footy, actually.
Certainly been mentioned.
Yeah.
Certainly been mentioned. Yeah. Big bopper too, isn't he?
Yep, it'll come down to all types of things, but one thing it'll be good work rate and what you do away from the football, not so much what you do on the football.
What do you think Madge will do different to Freddie Loss? And it's a broad question. I know we don't have a lot of time, but
I don't.
It'll
know.
Be a different approach, though, won't it? Everything will be
possibly
changed,
preparation
turned
might.
On its head from the Freddie era.
Yeah, well, it's hard because I don't know. I don't know what Freddie's prep was like. But one thing I know with Madge, he's very intense. So there'll be an intensive focus on preparing. But Origin, as we all know, it's not about the tactics. It's about getting people that want to have a crack and perform. And when you're under pressure, being able to fight your way through that fatigue part of the game and bounce out the other side, So you've got to just stick to a plan and you've got to be tough, a strong attitude and just that want and desire and that will to win.
I used to ref and it was march the team 10 yards and then in the bin for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Any swearing at me was an apology or see you at the judiciary Monday night, says the Star Wars battler. Good on your Star Wars battler.
Yeah. I think you've still got to have the opportunity as a captain to approach a referee, but you've got to do it in a respectful manner. And then if they don't, you give them a warning, and if they keep on going, it's a march, 10, and if they want to keep going after that, well, then it is the bin.
I think we're heading in a dangerous direction. I really do. It hasn't got out of proportion just yet, but from what I've been seeing in the last year or so, I just think we're heading down a path ever so slowly where the respect for referees is diminishing.
I wouldn't say... Well,
I think it's got to be nipped in the bud
now. No,
no, no.
I understand where you're coming from. But I think over time, the game is more ruthless. And the game, we all understand that the players, coaches, it's their job. All right. And with that, one performance, one refereeing decision can change the outcome of a contest. That's not saying that they should act the way they do, but it's the emotion coming out because they know the importance and what's riding on. And I think that's why we're seeing more and more of it happening. But I think it's easy to fix. And I think if you let your team down, you get March 10 or you get put away in the sin bin, you'll learn pretty quickly. I don't think you'll be having too many players in approach referee.
Craig Fitzgibbon, not far away. The NBA playoffs continue today. Yesterday, it was a thriller in game one at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks got there in the end. They trailed for a lot of the game, but they beat the Indiana Pacers 121 to 117, but the real shock was in Denver. The defending NBA champions, well, they were beaten convincingly by the emerging Minnesota Timberwolves, 106 to 80. So the T-Wolves 2-0 up, and they head back to their home floor with a real chance to upset and knock out the defending champs. Today it's game one in the East between the top seed Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Boston $1.14, a very short minus 12.5 at the line with Tab. Cleveland $6 head to head. And a fair bit of Aussie flavour in the other match in the Western Conference. The top seed Oklahoma City Thunder, Josh Giddey's side, are $1.60 in game one against the Dallas Mavericks with Josh Green and Dante Exum. A couple of Aussies on their roster, and they're $2.40, the Mavs plus 3.5 at the line. Those games will 9 o'clock, the Boston-Cleveland game, Eastern Standard Time, our time, and 11:30 tip-off Eastern Standard for the OKC-Dallas match as well. Bulldog.
Middo, you love all your American sport. I can tell by the passion in your voice. If you had to pick one, what is your favourite out of interest?
Well, it was NBA as a kid, but now it is the NFL.
NFL.
Easily. Oh, but in the NBA, I only watch the playoffs. I watch a little bit if I have a bet. Usually it's what gets me in the regular season.
I think a lot of people in
the playoffs, I watch a lot. The playoffs are like, it's so massive. Different between that and the regular season. They actually try on defense.
I think a lot of people in Australia underestimate just how popular the NFL is down under. It is massive.
It's huge.
People don't realise it.
People don't realise it. And we get texts of people, oh, why do you push this crap? And as I say many times, I see the figures just on turnover alone. And that's just turnover, not, you know, the viewing numbers. But you see a lot of the NRL players. What are they watching? A lot of them are huge American sports fans, aren't they? And that particular younger generation, because it's so accessible now. Whereas for us in the 90s, it was Bill Woods and Steve Garfino on Channel 10 on a Saturday afternoon.
I've said it before that in the old days when you were growing up, a football player's hero was another football player.
Yeah.
These days, a football player's, their heroes are American sports people. They're not they're not Andrew Johns or Darren Lockyer from the old days. It is LeBron James.
LeBron, Steph.
Exactly. Steph
Patrick Mahomes.
100%. Yeah. It's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just the facts, as I say a lot. The second most, or the second highest turnover anything at TAB after horse racing is the NBA. Yes, there's a lot of games and a lot of bet types, but that's just the facts. That's the second highest turnover anything. Okay, though, we're talking rugby league now and about to join us. Big game, Saturday night, Amy Park. It is the Sharks and the Melbourne Storm. The Sharks first on the ladder. And joining us is their coach, Craig Fitzgibbon. Craig, a very good morning to you.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Really well. Appreciate your time. And as you sit top after nine rounds, what facets of your game do you feel you've taken to the next level this season?
Oh, yeah, we've sort of, after the last couple of years, obviously found out the hard way. The second year's harder than the first, that's for sure. So we had to adjust a couple of facets of our play and control games a little bit better. And it's probably in line with the development of our halves as well on how to control a game and know when to go for it, when not to. And we sort of balanced that out a little bit better so far, but there's a long way to go, and we've still got a fair bit to work on, to be perfectly honest, but we've been relatively consistent so far.
Fitzy, can I play devil's advocate? And
you
the
sure
theory, thank you, Fitzy. And the theory that Cronulla have a soft underbelly in the finals. You've heard it, you've read about it. Is it unfair, or based on the results over the past few years in the playoffs, is it a fair assumption?
Yeah, no, it's a
And
fair
does it irritate you?
No, look, it is what it is. We're pretty clear about, we're fighting to catch up to those well-built clubs that have been strong, finals bound, preliminary finals each year. Like we're on a trail to try and get up and match it with those clubs. So the first year, we obviously had a good year in 22, but we weren't ready for the semi-finals by the way we performed in the semi-finals. So that's a fair assessment. And then last year, agonisingly close against whoever was calling the form team of the premiership, the Roosters at the back end, and we fell agonisingly short, and that hurt. We fell by a field goal. That really hurt. So all we're working on, we feel like we're getting closer. We feel like we're getting better. But are we there yet? Well, that's the jury's still out there. And until we change that, it's always there. But we're kind of used to it. We just got to do something about it, really.
Yeah, Fitzy, when I look at the Sharks team, I like the Sharks team. And I actually like the way you've constructed your bench. Like, I mean, Jack Williams and Talakai, I think he's better suited coming off. Hamlin, Ueli. I know that Royce Hunt is in there for this game. And Toby's not there. But is that something you considered when you looked at how you put this Sharks team together this year? Or is it just the fact that other players are playing better, like Hazelton and Confusi to start?
A little bit of both, Laurie. I think, there's moments in games and you don't know when you're going to get them, but most games, teams are pretty competitive early. And what Tommy and Oregon have been doing is and Cairn is starting, is they're really fit, they're really mobile, they don't slow down. And we want to get ourselves into a contest and then we've got a bit of power and impact off the bench. And it might not always be the case. Sometimes you've got to fight fire with fire and, and throw the big fellas out there to start also. So, yeah, for now, that's what's working in a, and to get us into a game and get us to find some rhythm in the game. But, yeah, I think the interchange guys have performed so strongly this year, it's kind of just we're loath to change it at this stage. So, but you're always adjusting, I think. It doesn't take much, a couple of injuries here and there or form. And, yeah, everyone's fighting for a spot at the moment, so that's also healthy.
Fitzy, in the realistic stakes, some sides obviously think that a top eight finish is successful. Some think top six, top four. Where do Cronulla believe that a season is a success and acceptable?
We want to view it as two sort of seasons within a season. You've got to earn the right to play semis and ultimately to fall agonisingly short. Like the first year we got blown away. As I said, the second year agonisingly short. Like we just want to earn the right to get there, wherever we get there and do something about the back end of the year, making sure we're at our strongest at the right time. So success to me, to be perfectly honest, is are we trending in a direction where we're improving? Are we getting stronger? And can we overcome obstacles along the way, as in multiple injuries, form, being consistent? And are you trending towards those clubs, as I said before, that have been there for a long time and understand what it takes? We want to make sure we're bridging the gap there. So that would be success. What terms of results that means, I don't sort of try and focus too much on that because it's all... It's all sort of outcome focused. It's harder to. It gives you anxiety, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you get a good chance this weekend, Fitzy, taking on the Storm, who, along with Penrith, have been the benchmark of the competitions for the last five, 6 years. And I'm just reading the team list for the Storm, and Munster's been named at seven. Does that change, do you think, the way that the Storm play? I mean, why wouldn't they have just named him in six? I don't know, but I'm just sort of saying, with him being named at seven, Wishart six, with no Jerome Hughes out, do you anticipate anything different?
No, I don't. Cameron's been playing on the ball quite a lot lately anyway, so on watching them this week and previewing them, he's touching the ball a lot, so I don't think a great deal of changes there. As you know, he's got a strong kicking game, and to be fair, they were still winning games at the start of them. We didn't have Hughes and Munster in the team. So
It's
they can find a way, the Melbourne Storm. And, you know, they're lost at, he's an important part of their team, Jerome Hughes. That Cameron Munster's still probably the main man there, I would have thought, and Harry Grant also. So, yeah, we're still adjusting to not having Trindle in our side as well. We're trying to and understand the difficulties of bringing a guy in and trying to fit him in quickly. So you look at, for us, we had to have Nico take over a whole lot more to make sure Daniel Atkinson fits in. So I'm assuming that Cameron Munster has to take over even more to combat for Tyre and Richard coming in.
And Craig, just on Nico Hines, why is he better equipped to play and thrive now in Origin compared to, say, when he debuted last year?
Just experienced. Sometimes there's painful lessons in rugby league, as we all know. You never get it all. He had a pretty meteoric rise there and then hit the skids, which was a real good learning curve for him, steep one. I think he's maturing into a halfback role on game management, and quite frankly, his defence has improved significantly. So, he's more ready. Whether he gets an opportunity, I'm not entirely sure, but I think that he's improving in his game as a halfback, and I also think he's not at his potential yet either. So, but he's not focused on it too much at the moment. He found it got distracting for him last year, so he's just head down, bum up at the moment, trying to improve his game. I think he's doing that, and we need him to as well.
Fitzy, the Storm next. Then you've got the Roosters, Panthers, Eels, and Broncos. Is this a defining period of your season?
You got it. When you look at it in a snapshot like that, and it is very cliche to go a week at a time, but if I'm concerned about what's coming after the Melbourne Storm and take my eyes off what we need to do to play well down there, it's dangerous for us. Like, as staff, obviously we get our planning done on when we're travelling and training days and all that sort of stuff, but for us and the team, our conversations are just fixed on the next opponent. But I don't think it defines it. It'll still only be just after the halfway point after this block, but we'll get some lessons on, are we getting close? Have we improved? Are we ready to get better? Or geez, we've got some work to do. So I don't think it defines a season as such, but it'll give us an indication of what we need to do, either keep doing or work on.
What about the game in general, Fitzy? This is your third year in charge. What trends, or has there been any trends that have sort of started to form in that three-year period differently to what it was in the past?
I think mostly, Loz, is you find out at the start of the year anyone can beat anyone if you turn up. You got to have your attitude right. You got to know you want to play and knuckle down. But I think what is starting to shape, like the teams when they play to their capacity, those strong clubs that you just mentioned there, Bulldog, they are, you know, they're the ones that everyone needs to get up to that level. And you see them, when you see them have a really good performance, you know, they know their style of play, they know the way they look sort of similar each year, but they're getting stronger at it. So I wouldn't say there's been a rule change or a significant, like the short drop out or the kickoff hasn't really changed the dynamic in a game a great deal, I don't think. So I think what you're seeing is the teams that have been together and stuck together are finding ways to improve, and you know, sometimes that stability can find ways to get better too. You know,
you mentioned the kickoff there, and it's been a bugbear of Bulldogs for the last two or three weeks. He's on the agenda of trying to drive it out of the game.
Where do you sit on it,
Fitzy?
I'm saying that I think it should be looked at in future because there's concussions occurring.
Yeah, look, you don't want to see it like that. It is almost in the fabric of the game, the big collisions. But what I think we need to, you know, I'm not certain of a solution, but I definitely think it needs some discussion on how do we keep the stuff that all the fans and the players want to be a part of, and the physical exchanges and contact. But how do we keep that, but all the while make it safer? I don't have a solution for that, to be perfectly honest, but it's worth discussion points because we don't want to see it keep happening, but we also don't want to lose the hardest parts of our game. So if you can find a balance between that, you're smarter than me.
What about the bloke who catches the ball has to run the ball, which means there's no running start? He catches it from a still position, and that means the G-force isn't quite as severe.
Wouldn't you just load up on the bloke running the ball, though, Fitzy?
What happens is, because sometimes it's the bloke running the ball that gets knocked out, but sometimes it's the defender that gets knocked out. So we've got to work out where's the onus of these head knocks coming from. Is it poor control on the bloke carrying the ball, sticks his head in the wrong spot, or is the technique of the people tackling in the wrong spot? And if you looked at it more case by case, there might be a trend there where we might be able to say, okay, this is the latest. You know, keep the big collision, but avoid the head knocks.
Sounds like you're on my side, Fitzy. Thanks, buddy. I've always loved you.
No, he said discussion.
That's all I'm after.
You want to out of
that's
the game.
All I'm after.
I'm happy with a discussion.
On you, Fitzy.
Thanks, hey, brother. Fitzy, this one's just come in from someone down at the Shire Raz. How's Cade Dykes coming along?
He's back playing again now. He's had a couple little ongoing issues, you know, a bit of fluid on the knee after a knee reconstruction, and then he had another little hamstring strain, and then off the back of that he had a hip injury. So he's coming along week by week, getting himself back to his athletic best, and he's, you know, to be fair to the kid, he played last week with a pretty significant hip injury and got through the game. So we haven't seen the best of him yet, but as you guys would know, overcoming a knee reconstruction is not, you don't just hit the ground running straight away when you come back. There's a lot of confidence and work that needs to be rebuilt, and he's starting to look a bit more athletic and a bit more strength. And he's getting better. He's getting better, but he's still, you know, I think we've got to go slow with him to get the best out of him at the moment.
Fitzy, how does it feel when you're at Shark Park and you're in the press box and you look down about four rows and there's Buzz with his notepad and pen just ready to go?
Well, but Buzz is not. I usually got fans screaming at me for who I shouldn't get off the field or what's going on during the game, so they kind of distract me from Buzz. But anyway...
Fitzy, thanks so much for your time, mate. And go well for this trip down to Amy Park against the Storm this week.
Yeah, no worries, boys.
Thanks for your support, Fitzy. Thanks for your support, brother.
Fitzgibbon there. The market for this game, Melbourne $1.85, the slightest of favourites. Cronulla $1.95.
Geez, they've trimmed up the Sharks.
Trimmed up big time, haven't they? Mm. +1.5 they are at the line. I mean, what we've got to have a discussion. We've had the discussion for 3 weeks. So
no,
what
we
do you want to do about it?
We've got to have a proper discussion.
Well, what do you want?
Eggheads like me, I'm just saying, let's have a discussion. We'll get officials, we get players, we get medical, we get surgeons, we get brain bank, we get everybody in the one room. Say, all right, let's have a chat.
Well, what do you think would happen then? Ban contact sport. That's what had happened.
I don't know.
Would you like to read some of these?
Well, I don't think I can.
Jobbo's got the best one, but I won't read that.
Yeah,
Jobbo.
Come on,
baby. I like this one. Shut up, Chihuahua.
Chihuahua. Yeah, fair enough.
Boys, can we get Bulldog to take a kick off this weekend and knock some sense into him, says Scott at Brisbane. Vegas.
Get him off, Bulldog.
Get him off.
Punish.
STFU. I'll just let you figure out what that stands for. I want Dean to take a kick off hit up at Mido, says Mitch at Robertson.
At Hatchie from
go
the Knights.
Go and commentate on Horn Bowls.
You know what? I respect the punters' opinions, but they aren't the ones that have to wake up with dizziness, with nausea, vomiting. Yeah, it's all right for them to say it, but they don't have the symptoms and have to go through the symptoms of concussion.
Well, when contact sport is outlawed by the federal government in 60 years' time, it will come back to you, Bulldog.
I'll be long gone by then.
Tell your kids about it.
I'll be long gone. I don't have any.
That's right.
Well, tell people that neighbours have got kids or something, so they can always say, oh, I know the bloke who campaigned for this.
The dog rule.
Yeah. Bulldog rule. The dog Chihuahua rule.
Brad Davidson from Sky Racing. A very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thank you. Now, this very talented WA two-year-old, Bustling, which has won, four of five starts, including the WA size most recently, and it's set to have, a change in trainer, is that right? And be aimed potentially at the Tab Everest.
Well, that was the news, guys, last night on Twitter, or X as they call it these days. Campbell Brown tweeting out that Mick Kent Jr. has bought Bustling for $2 million and will set him at the Everest later this year. So, look, I haven't seen any other sort of reports on this, but, Campbell Brown's basically tweeted that out last night. So, look, it wouldn't surprise me, guys, because he's a very, very exciting horse. He's been absolutely smashing the clock in his wins over there in WA. He won the Karrakatta by a massive margin, backed it up with a big win in the size, and he's won the 4 from 5. The times he's been running suggest he'll measure up to some of the best two-year-olds in the country, and, you know, he's just a real sprinter as well that puts himself on speed, and he's able to kick off that. So, that's the news there yesterday, so we'll wait and see what, you know, if it filters out a bit more today. But, excited to see him head over east and target the Everest potentially later this year.
And $26, I believe, in the market, if keen, for the Everest is Bustling. Go for it.
I just was reading today, Davo, that Cascadian's retired, Golden Mile has retired, so it was a big day yesterday for Godolphin.
Yeah, it was, Loz. Obviously, Cascadian's been one of their flagship horses for a number of years. He's a 9-year-old. We all knew it was coming. James Cummings sort of suggesting that, you know, maybe a couple of runs in Brisbane before the finish, but they decided to finish up after the Sydney Autumn. More than $10 million in prize money, multiple Group 1 winner. Of course, he won an Australian Cup at Doncaster, among other races. And, a terrific horse. We saw him, you know, why I'm at the clock to win the Australian Cup this year. So, fourth in a Queen Elizabeth to round out his career, and what a career it was. You know, he's got that baldy face. He's a favourite of many, many punters. I know our own Andrew Martin was always had a soft spot, I think, as his favourite horse. And, he's one that a lot of fond memories on the track, and we'll be sorely missed seeing him race, carnival after carnival.
He's been a good one. Now, there's some talented youngsters to step out at Warwick Farm today, Davo.
Yeah, certainly is. With this Warwick Farm, we're going to be on a heavy track there today. But, some good two-year-olds step out. That could well take part, I would imagine, in the Queensland Winter Carnival. You've got Lady Shenandoah there for the Wally Yard on debut. James McDonald to ride and has been trolling the house down, as has Clean Energy, who I think the sister to Sunlight, and her trials have been terrific as well. Just draws a bit awkwardly off the track. But look, they were the main two in that two-year-old race, but littered with really good trialers. So excited to see what they can produce in that race today. And obviously they've got to get through the condition, but looks a really nice race and some potential very good two-year-olds to come out of it.
By the way, Bustling just had another look at that. $26 into $15. So on the joint fifth line of betting after that news, the WA Galloper for the Everest, that is, with Tab's pre-noms market for that. But today, well, Warwick Farm or anywhere, what are your tips, Davo?
Yeah, look, I sort of just, I thought Lady Shenandoah would be hard to beat at Warwick Farm, but in pretty short now. So I was happy to sort of go elsewhere. Race three at Gawler, I thought was the best today. Thermodynamic, a horse that's been knocking on the door of winning and gets the shades on today. Just looks to have a different level of form of those for mine, and I think sets up really well there today. And I thought that Sandown Verifier, this horse has become very frustrating, I do concede, but at around that $4 mark, he really found the line strongly last time. Looks like he's going to eat up 2,400 metres, and if he can hold a position from that good gate, I thought it'd be awfully hard to hold out late in an open race. So they were the two for me today. But as I said, Lady Shenandoah, I thought would go very close at Warwick Farm as well.
Okay, so Gawler 3-3, Thermodynamic $1.85, and Sandown race 7, number 6, Verifies a $4.20 chance. Thank you, Brad. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Chat soon.
Brad Davidson there. Now, I've seen some pylons, Loz, we have. Seen some pylons on the text line in our time. I don't know if I've seen anything like this. It is a barrage. And our great mate, who we love. Who's it?
Oh, if you great haven't mate met, who you love.
Now, I'm going to stick up for Bulldog.
You started this.
You are a good person.
Oh, thanks.
You have been, we don't always agree on
I feel
things.
So much more comfortable
you
now.
You have been labelled some truly incredible things here on the text line.
There isn't one message of support. Not one.